For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. The U.S. military has been conducting continuing military drills with South Korea as tensions remain high over North Korea. Pyongyang has called the recent rounds of sanctions an inhumane act of hostility, promising they're going to increase their pace towards finishing their nuclear force. From Washington, our correspondent Daniel Rinches reports.
After North Korea fired a second missile over Japan last week and conducted a nuclear test detonation earlier this month, the UN Security Council agreed more stringent financial sanctions. The President Trump's emphasized fire and fury in a set of tweets threatening possible military solutions. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley has suggested that this refers to what would be an overwhelming military response to any attack by the North. Daniel Rinches, Washington.
Hurricane Maria has intensified to a Category 3 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 120 miles per hour, our correspondent Kate Fisher reports.
Hurricane Maria rapidly strengthened on Monday morning as it took aim at Puerto Rico and islands left in ruins by Hurricane Irma. The National Hurricane Center said that Maria's maximum sustained winds jumped from 90 miles per hour to 110 miles per hour in just 3 hours. Maria's first landfall is expected around 8 p.m. Eastern Time in the Northeast Caribbean's Leeward Islands, specifically Dominica and Guadeloupe. Kate Fisher, Washington.
British police continue to question two suspects over a bomb placed on the London Tube train last week. Our London correspondent Natalie Powell reports.
Two addresses are being searched by police in connection with Friday's attack. One of the men thought to be being detained and questioned by police, 21-year-old Yahya Farouk, is believed to be registered at one of the addresses, which belongs to a couple known for fostering hundreds of children, including refugees. An 18-year-old man is also being questioned after being detained at the UK port of Dover on the weekend. Meanwhile, Britain's terror threat level has been reduced following the arrests back down to its second highest level. Natalie Powell, London.
The Indian government has told the Supreme Court that some Rohingya refugees in India have links to the so-called Islamic State. Some 400,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled violence in Myanmar. Our India correspondent Rebecca Bunhun reports.
The Indian government, in an affidavit filed to the Supreme Court, says that Rohingya Muslim refugees in India are a serious security threat to the country. The UN has criticized the Indian government's plans to deport them. They are described by the UN as one of the world's most persecuted minorities. The next hearing on the matter in India is due to take place on the 3rd of October. Rebecca Brandon, Mumbai.
Iraq is joining opposition to the planned September 25th Kurdish vote on independence. Reform is topping the agenda as world leaders gather in New York for the United Nations General Assembly. This is FSN.
Thanks, Priscilla. Thank you very much. It's Monday. It is Monday. It's the 18th of September 2017. The evenings have already gotten very dark. In Manchester, anyway. Hope you've had a good weekend. Thanks for joining me. Always good to be with you.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yes, indeed, and David is on his travels. He's in the Midlands area of the country. So if you see a solitary man, not Neil Diamond, a solitary man wearing a big navy raincoat and a spectacular head of white hair, it might just be David Icke. He's in the Midlands as we speak, doing a bit of business. NewDavidIcke.com going to be online real soon in the next few days, next week or so. We're live on DavidIcke.com. Bookmark the headlines page. We're on FabRadioInternational.com as well in Manchester. And right now we're on TuneIn Radio as well. There is no player on RichieAllen.co.uk. I'm getting to the bottom of that. In fact, I'm planning in the next few weeks, I'm planning a big overhaul of the website to drag it kicking and screaming into the 21st century as it deserves to be, I think. So that's it. Right, it's been a crazy day, right? It's 5 minutes past the hour. I've had one of those days. And I think this would be or is the first time in around about 7 years that I've come to do my programme and I don't have any guests with me. I'm on my own. I came here alone. There's nobody with me. I had a crazy day today. There's a few things going on from a domestic point of view. Nothing bad, all good. But in between the distractions of that, pretty much every man and woman invited on the programme today to speak about the pressing issues of the day couldn't make it today and asked could they do it tomorrow or Wednesday. And I found this amusing and it just went on and on and on. And it got to 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I thought, I'm not going to ask anybody else. I'm just going to do the show. This is live radio, and I'm just going to do the show by myself. I do, of course, have a Skype and telephone service standing by, and at some stage in the next hour or so, we'll switch the phone on and we might have a conversation. It was just one of those days, crazy day. And we don't put anybody on the Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. We've got big egos here. We think we're special. We don't really. It's just we don't put any old tat. We don't put any old tat on the radio. So I decided that I was going to just basically come on. Last thing in the world I would ever do is cry off for no good reason. So anyway, here I am. Before we go anywhere, I want to give a big shout out to Mark Bajerski. You know Mark from coming on the programme before. Mark is a spiritualist, a medium, a healer based in Spain. He runs the Healing Academy in Spain. That's not the right title for it. I'll give it its proper title in due course. But he has been a big champion of this programme, particularly for the last 18 months or 2 years. And today, in lieu of the fact that last week we celebrated 3 years on air, Mark auctioned or began to auction today a painting that he bought in Thailand from a Buddhist, and it's a thing of beauty, of real beauty, and he's advertising or he's auctioning that to the highest bidder with all the proceeds going to the Richie Allen Show, which is a marvellous gesture. Not the first time he's done that. He's done it several times over the last 18 months. Hugely, hugely generous man. And, you know, long before he did that, I said, you know, I went on the record saying how much I admire him for what he does for people, the selfless things that he does for people. And this is just another example of it. So he made a video so he could display this painting. And I shared the video on our Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/The Richie Allen Show, you'll see the video pinned to the top of the page. I think it's pinned. It might be just underneath the pinned article. And you can see the painting there. Again, a huge thanks and a big shout out to Mark Bajerski for that. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. More than I can find the words to say. 8 minutes past the hour. So, interesting today as well, it seems that the email server that I use, it seems that is working again. And it hasn't been working well for weeks, but I got an avalanche of emails today. And a lot of them were about the attack in South London on, it was Parsons Green, wasn't it? It was Parsons Green, the alleged attack on Friday. And a number of people have been emailing me over the last few days. I suppose it's the nature of programmes like this. People sometimes, not a lot of people, but some people assume that you have all the answers, that you know the truth. But of course, I don't have any answers and I certainly don't know the truth or anything like it. The BBC are reporting today that the two men who are in custody are still being questioned by London police. Saturday, an 18-year-old man who is believed to be an orphan from Iraq was arrested in Dover, and a 21-year-old man was detained late Saturday night in Hounslow. There's been a lot made of the foster home, which is in Sunbury on Thames. It's one of a number of places that have been searched. There's a big police presence there and at other locations as well. The media doesn't seem to know what to do with this particular attack. Different, varying coverage of it with very different, I won't say opinions, but vastly different coverage of it. You know, nobody seems to know what's going on. Officially, we're still being told that a homemade bomb partially exploded at Parsons Green Station and that 30 people were injured in rush hour. Now, again, a number of people sent videos to me today. I got some pretty hostile emails, which is funny, and I take it in the spirit of presenting programmes like this. When you present programmes like this, you wind people up and they send you emails and sometimes they're abusive. But it's interesting that you get emails from people saying, why don't you grow a pair and call this out for what it is, man? It's obviously a hoax, man. You're a shill because you won't call it out. I'm a shill because I just don't know what it is. And the images of the woman wearing the cream blouse or cardigan, the woman with the bandage wrapped under her chin, people have been sending that around the internet saying it's evidence that it's a hoax because her clothes are not singed, her hair isn't singed, everything else is pristine, but she has a bandage around her head and she was led away from the carriage of the tube by police. None of that is proof of anything. And we need to grow up. And we're not going to do the identity politics lecture tonight. We've done it too many times. But these days, especially on social media like Twitter and Facebook, increasing numbers of people are describing themselves, meaning they identify as truthers or truth seekers or as a truther, right? Which is just another identity group in a sea of millions of identity groups. And it is a barrier to serious examination of these events, of these happenings, because your default position is to go along with the truther explanation, which is that it must be a hoax. It must be. The truthers say it is, and I'm a truther, therefore it's a hoax, the whole thing is staged. Does that mean that your presenter of this programme thinks that you're wrong? No, you might be right. I just don't know. You see, you'd have to be there. It's one thing to say, and I mentioned this on Sunday View yesterday, that looks odd, doesn't it? I wish that we could get a closer look at that. Or I wish we could speak to some of those witnesses. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get them on independent radio shows like this one? We've tried. It's not always easy to track these people down, but we've tried in the past. So outside of that, you can look at it and you can stay all day long. Looks very weird that it kind of stinks a little bit. I mean, we've seen the photographs put out by the police and they are bizarre. The CCTV footage of the man in the grey suit carrying the Lidl bag. And for our overseas listeners, well, Lidl exists pretty much everywhere in Europe, doesn't it? But if you're in Asia or North America, Lidl is a supermarket. It's a discount supermarket. And this bucket with lights apparently sparked up briefly and it was inside a Lidl bag. So the CCTV footage they've got of the person leaving the property in Sunbury carrying the Lidl bag early on Friday morning. Yes, it's bizarre. And by all means, disbelieve or doubt the official version of it. But don't fall into the trap of the identitarian of making the assumption that it has to be an absolute hoax. It must be. Because there are staged events. There are hoaxes. There are false flags where the security services will blow something up and kill people and blame it on a third party. But there are also genuine events where men who, poisoned by Wahhabism or whatever, we could argue, not with the results of their actions, but you could argue in light of the foreign policy of this country and the United States and Israel and France and Germany, you could argue, in light of all that, it's understandable why these guys are easily led down this path of Wahhabi radicalization, right? Not just, you know, I'm not saying it's right. So there you go. You've got three possibilities. So it might be a hoax, but you don't know. You just don't know. And you're in a bad place intellectually if you derive your point of view and your opinion on any of these subjects based on your social group, the truther group, and you leave no room whatsoever for doubt, for investigation, for challenge, and that's for you to challenge your truther heroes, or for other people to challenge you. And you're in a really bad place when you're labelling people as shills and as fake news or whatever the hell you want to call them, because they don't go along with what you want them to go along with. I don't know what happened on Friday. It looks bizarre. But I don't get my opinions from truthers. I'll tell you a funny one. I had a conversation with a friend of mine last week. I won't name him because it won't be fair to name him. And we were talking about pretty bad behaviour by a truther, by somebody who identifies as a truther. And my good friend said to me, he said, I really don't like when I see this, Richie. I don't like to see division in the community. And I took him to task straight away. And I said, what community are you talking about? And he said, the truth-seeking community. The alternative media community. And I said, well, I don't see us as a collective. We're not a collective. Surely, like anything else, you've got a bunch of individual people putting out programmes where they present a point of view on geopolitical events. Surely that's how you would describe the alternative media. It isn't a community. There's nothing that binds us. We're not together trying to achieve an aim or a single aim. It's gotten me into trouble this over the years because I don't have anything to do with any other independent show, TV, radio or whatever. Some of them I think are very good. There's no collective. There's no truth or community. There's a truth or industrial complex, but there's no truth or community. That's an identity group. That's identitarianism. I form my opinions and I take my positions from the group, from within that which I identify with, which is the truth or community. No, don't do that. Rigorously challenge everything you hear from independent media sources as much as you would challenge it from the BBC, Sky News, RT or CNN. Well, it's interesting. I was sent an article today by David Shaler that alleges that there are 25,000 Islamist extremists living in the UK. 25,000. Now, to put that into perspective, you're talking about one side of Wembley Stadium. So where the Royal Box is at Wembley, one side of the pitch, that whole area, that stand, that three-level stand, holds about 25,000, maybe more, maybe it holds 30,000 people, maybe. We're being told now that there are 25,000 Islamist extremists living in the UK. Do you believe that? Do you think it's a figure you could buy into? Do you think it's more? Do you think it's less? Let me know on Twitter, @RichieAllenShow, on Twitter. The reason I asked that is because I was thinking when I was reading that article today, what constitutes an extremist? Is it somebody who decides, well, I'm going to figure out how to make a bomb using steel, bits of metal, using screws, using ball bearings, whatever. I'm going to figure out how to do that. I'm going to leave it somewhere and I'm going to kill a load of people. Or I'm going to wear it and I'm going to kill myself and as many people as I can. Is that an extremist? Or is an extremist somebody who talks about how a tiny clique or a tiny elite of criminals, bankers, corporations, globalists are manipulating world events in order to further a long-standing or long-held agenda? Is that extremism? So this is the question I have. And people were sending me emails today saying, you see, even you underestimate the amount of radical extremists here in the UK. So does it mean that there are 25,000 people in the country, all of them prepared to make a bomb or wear a bomb or leave a bomb somewhere? Or is it something vastly different? Have people been labelled as extremists because they have a different take on why things are happening the way they have happened in Syria, why Libya is in the state that it's in, why Yemen is in the state that it's in? Which is it? And I want to explore that in the programme in the coming days as well. 22 minutes past the hour. Those are the main headlines at the moment. Two people still being questioned for Friday's alleged attack at Parsons Green there. Want to mention again, because I mentioned this on Sunday View yesterday, a lot of people won't be aware of this, but if these men are ever charged, they won't appear in court in a traditional court of law. They won't be at the Old Bailey. They will be tried in secret and there will be no scrutiny from the UK media whatsoever. Something you should keep in mind when you think about whether or not these guys did what they are being questioned for on Friday. Going to read a few tweets. Paul Sweeney tweets even, being extreme used to be a cool, gnarly thing, says Paul. Faisal tweets, it's bewildering why people were being led across tracks here when the train had stopped at station and the doors opened. There is a photograph where people are walking away from the train on the other side of the train. So the train is, the right-hand side of the train is parked on the platform, but people are walking away from the left-hand side across open tracks. Yeah, Faisal, it's a question that I suppose begs asking. Why that is the case, I have no idea. Susan says, I take what this young lad did as a cry for help, and I hope he gets it. Susan, are you talking about... You are. You're talking about the alleged attacker, the 18-year-old, the orphan. She said, kids and people are being groomed all over the world. It's time we realised the ideologies of certain agendas, especially hate. Rich tweets, maybe it's just a random thing and not affiliated terrorism. The BBC isn't going to tell you the facts, is it, says Rich. Paul Burchell, Paul, how are you? Welcome to the programme. Nice to know you're listening as well. And John Foley sent me a picture of Liverpool taken 2 hours ago. Merseyside police, there are ballistic protection vehicles patrolling our city now. I did see a article on davidicke.com/headlines today that suggested that on train journeys across the UK in the future, now even, in the very near future, armed to the teeth counter-terrorism specialists and even SAS-trained people would be travelling with the general public. David, excuse me, did put the caption on the meme. Of course, problem, reaction, solution. Going to take a very quick break, 24 minutes past the hour. Monday's Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Back in a minute.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back to the program. 27 minutes past the hour. This is your Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live in association with DavidIke.com for Monday, 18th of September 2017. Strange old day. Bit of a sore throat as well. Been taking the old lozenges. Sucking the old lozenges today. Feeling it today. You know, it's funny. A little change in the weather. Just a little. And I don't believe a change in the weather, even a drop by a couple of degrees. I don't believe for a minute that in that time period, that space of a couple of days, that people can start coming down with colds and sore throats and what have you. But anyway, yeah, a little bit of a sore throat. Not man flu, just a little bit of a sore throat. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. You can now email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Want to say a big hi to Noel Simpson, who I've known some years now. Noel is Irish, but living in Spain. She says, Richie, I loved Sunday View, especially the George Hook thing. That person, Dil Wickremesinghe, should really get lost, says Noel. I read two lines of her Carry On in The Independent. The comments were more interesting. Sadcor, the only people who will miss her show are the illegal immigrants, etc., says Noel. When legal gay marriage was announced in Ireland, she was interviewed on the station, on News Talk. She and her partner, who now have children, cried, and she asked her partner to marry her on air. How professional of her. I texted the show, of course it wasn't read out. What a waste of my 30 cents. She should indeed F off to wherever she came from and see how she gets on. Way to go, Richie, says Noel. I thought I might have a lot of complaining comments about that yesterday. We mentioned on the programme yesterday and last week that the Irish broadcaster George Hook has now been suspended by News Talk, the national commercial radio station based in Dublin. It's obviously it's called News Talk, so it's like Ireland's version of LBC Radio. It just does wall-to-wall talk programmes where different presenters interview people about the big stories of the day. And just over a week ago, George Hook did a story. You're probably tired of hearing about this now, and if you are, fair enough, let me know, and I won't keep talking about it, but I think it's important. Just over a week ago, Hook covered the story of the young woman who alleges she was raped by a former member of the British Olympic swimming team. And that's a terrible thing. It's disgraceful. You couldn't. No decent human being, I don't think, anywhere, would apportion any blame to the young woman. No decent human being would entertain even the semblance of the notion that she somehow brought it on herself, or that, you know, tough luck, you deserved it, you know, whatever. Nobody would say that. Hook didn't say that. Hook said she didn't deserve it, didn't ask for it, wasn't warranted, and the guy should be locked up. But Hook asked the question about personal responsibility, which isn't the same as victim blaming, which isn't the same as trying to apportion some blame to the woman. I thought there was an educational aspect to what Hook was saying. The girl didn't ask for it, the girl didn't deserve it. And you might be hoping that women listening to the programme might think, yeah, if you do drink vastly more than you are capable of holding, if you do get into a physical state that you're not in control of your own body, well, you are in a vulnerable situation then. And you can live in cloud cuckoo land thinking that you're living in a dystopian paradise, but you're not. There are sick bastards who will prey on people whom are vulnerable and who can't take care of themselves. Point of proof. All the tabloid newspapers today ran photographs, if you're in the UK, you'll know this, of young women in deplorable states on the streets of the UK's university cities last night. Why? Because it's Fresher Week. Fresher Week. So first year students at the UK's universities are getting, well, they're partying like it's 2099. Good luck to them. Did it myself, be Jesus. And the feminazis will scream, ah, it's all right for the men. It's not all right, really, for anybody to get into that state. But men are less likely to be preyed upon by a couple of men who see you in that condition and think, we'll take her back to our flat, won't we, James? Won't we? And they're too pissed. Now, they're scumbags to do that, full stop. But their rationale, their ability to reason and to make a good decision has gone out the window because they've had 15 pints of Carling or Stella. She's in a terrible situation. She is the physically weaker sex. Not the weaker sex, the physically weaker sex. She is fucked. She has no chance. So Hook might have been saying, should we treat this as a cautionary tale? Maybe take some responsibility for ourselves. Not the same thing as saying, well, she deserved that, really. Because nobody deserves rape. But anyway, he was suspended. He'll never work for them again. The lawyers have been appointed. The barristers will soon be appointed. Lots of money will be spent in litigation, undoubtedly. And we'll see how it plays out. But that, of course, speaks, I'm not going to get into it again, to the, you know, the trouble with the adoption of and the adhesion to identity politics that we've seen rise and rise and rise and rise and rise. There's, everything has got to be black and white. Everybody has got to be a victim. all your ills, all your woes, all your problems are the fault of somebody else. I was raped when I was 15. No, I wasn't. But you have women saying, I was raped when I was 15. It's a terrible thing. Like I said yesterday, you probably never get over that. Can't imagine it. I was physically abused. I think I have gotten over it, but it's nothing. It can't be anything as bad as sexual abuse. Can't imagine it anyway. But you have women now who claim that they were abused when they were younger, and I'm sure they were, demanding that you can't talk about these things because you might trigger me. I might have an episode. It stirs up the bad memories in me. Therefore, it's an outrage. So you can't talk about it. And you can't talk about it in that context, is what we've learned from the Republic of Ireland. And the reason we bring this up again is Noel's email. But it's a huge story because thus far anyway, for me, it's about the most ridiculous reason, the most pathetic, inexplicable, hard to understand, head-scratching reason why a man or a woman, thank you, Stan, has been removed from a job. When you see the headline hook being lambasted in all quarters because of on-air rant, you think, Jesus, what did he say, you know? You know, did he insult people? Did he say something truly racist? Was he horrible? Did he libel somebody? And then you find out that he said, Jesus, why are we getting so absolutely twisted? That's an Irish word for pissed, by the way. Why are we getting so twisted that we can't manage our bodily functions? Maybe we need to have a conversation about that. Ah! Ah! You bastard! It's all right for a man! You misogynist! Like I said, a man can get fucked out of his brains drunk. And he is probably 1,000 times less likely than a woman to be sexually assaulted or preyed on by 2 or 3 men. Simple as that. I've had occasions, I'm not proud of it, not for a long, long time now, when I've been absolutely blotto and not in control of myself and in a vulnerable position. But I wasn't going to be raped. So it's an interesting one. I thought there'd be a bigger reaction to the things I said about Dil Wickremesinghe yesterday. She's the Sri Lankan via Rome woman who's been living in Ireland since 2000, threatened her company, the same news organisation as George Hook, threatened the station she wouldn't work there again if Hook wasn't fired. We had a good old rant about that yesterday. Tweeted Dil Wickremesinghe as well, but she's ignoring the tweets. That's fair enough. Brian Brew tweets me to say, Richie, I think there is a case somewhere in the British Isles where a judge said the same as Hook. Find that for me, Brian, will you? I mean, if a judge said that in summing up in a case, hopefully it was after he was sentencing the rapist to prison. I wouldn't like to think that some guy who took advantage of a woman and sexually assaulted her would be found not guilty because some bastard judge decides, well, she got pissed. How can we trust her? She was hammered. How do we know that no means no? Well, in the case of the young woman who was raped by the Olympic swimmer, she wasn't conscious enough to say no. It was almost like necrophilia, as far as I understand. I don't mean to be offensive. I don't mean to be, flippant. But I understand the woman couldn't, she was absolutely totally unaware of her circumstances. But if a judge said that, I would like to think it was a judge who first of all buried the bastard for raping a woman, for taking her into his bed without her consent, sentence him, and then make the comment. Listen, it isn't your fault. But think hard on what you do when you go out again. Look at the Daily Mail today. Look at the state of that girl somewhere in the north of England, lying on a pavement. And there are 2 guys with her. And I guarantee you, dear listener, because I've been to uni, not once, not twice, but thrice. I guarantee you, I was slow. I was a slow learner. I guarantee you, she's only known those guys a few days. She probably met them at registration. And now she's out with two guys and she's lying on the floor in the middle of the street, fucked. And they're picking her up to carry her. Where? More than likely, they're taking her somewhere safe. Let's hope they were chivalrous in what they were doing. But how do we know? How does she know? George Hook's been fired for daring to talk about that. Oh, you're a misogynist. It's all right for men to get pissed. Nobody's saying that. Men are not vulnerable. We are. We get pissed and we say stupid things and we might get knocked out. Right? Never happened to me, thank God. But I've seen it happen. You get pissed, you might say something. You're not going to be raped, though. You're not going to be raped. It's exactly 19 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, richie@richieallen.co.uk. So what I will do is shortly, I'll flick the Skype and the phone line on. The phone number for the studio in the UK is 0161 408, yes, 2017. That's 0161 408 2017. That's 0161 408 2017. Outside the UK, +441 614 08 2017. But you can Skype chat with Richie. It's very, very simple. That's CHAT with RICHIE, chat with Richie. If you want to talk about that or Friday's terror attack or whatever you want to talk about, we can do that. Had a strange old day today. For the first time in years, I've come on air with no friends, Billy No Mates, with you this Monday. But I don't mind. I'm enjoying having the conversation with you anyway. I'm enjoying the conversation. Good evening to my friend Jean-Anne Crowley. Jean-Anne, good evening. And Bob, good evening, Bob, if you're listening. Nice to know you're listening tonight, Jean-Anne. So some of those strange old programmes today. Strange old programmes. As I said, I asked a number of different people. I'll tell you who I asked to come on the programme. And this might be something worth talking about. I asked Sky News and Sky Atlantic use a man called Phil Campion. Phil used to be in the SAS. You probably know who I'm talking about. He's Big Phil Campion on Twitter. So I gave him a shout today and I invited him on, but he couldn't make it. And whenever there's an attack of some description or other, whenever there's an attack of some description or other, Phil is usually brought on to talk about the terror threat in the UK and the extent of it. And what's interesting is Phil has been speaking to national media here today and even on Sunday, The Express, The Daily Mail and Sky News. And Phil says there are 3,000 men of interest in the UK, 3,000 radical Islamists, 3,000 jihadists. And Phil is advocating that those on the watch list are basically rounded up a la Japanese Americans in the 1940s and are brought to a camp where they are presumably given room and board while we figure out what to do with them. And what's interesting about that, and you know, again, let's leave the identity politics out of it. I'm not going to go all lefty on this. I obviously disagree with it. It's a ridiculous notion, right? 3,000 on the watch list. Like I said, some of those 3,000 might just blame the UK and the United States and Israel for everything. But they might never pick up a stone, let alone a gun, right? But it's going unchallenged, this narrative. This let's round them all up until we figure out who's dangerous and who's not. Let's round them all up and be done with it. He's a former SAS guy. So I invited him on the programme to explain that. He was one of several people to turn me down today. So, like I said, I've never had a day like this. But I wouldn't cry off. So we'll stick the phone and Skype on in a minute. There are quite a few people trying to get in already. 25,000 extremists in the UK right now. Do you think that's an accurate number, really? How do you define extremist? What constitutes an extremist? And what do you think about the fact that television and radio presenters are losing their jobs? Although he hasn't quite lost his job yet, but he will lose his job because they have an opinion that somebody found offensive. Isn't it the job of national broadcasters not to do it for effect, not to do it for the sake of doing it, but to use their intelligence and to use their life experience to ask some questions that maybe people don't like being asked, to stir up a debate on these issues? I said this 100 times over the last couple of weeks. Isn't that your job? It was my job at WLR, at Talk Radio Europe. It was my job wherever I've worked. Not for the sake of it, but ask some questions about things that people mightn't really want to deal with. Mentioned on this programme many times some of the great people I've had the privilege to deal with over the years. Gerry Ryan, rest in peace, being one. Phenomenal broadcaster. Would be absolutely apoplectic if he was still on air now, that a colleague of his, a rival, a competitor, was basically fired because he suggested we might need to take a look at what we do and the potential consequences of that. Millie tweets to me, Millie, good evening. Men have been raped by other men, Richie. Of course they have. I never said they haven't. But Millie, you're not going to see too many stories or hear, and you might say, well, it'll be covered up. It won't be. You're not going to hear, or you haven't heard, about too many guys who went out on the town, got blotto, and ended up getting raped by some guy they met on the night. It's not a very common thing, Millie. Whereas I'm suggesting that it's obviously much more common for a woman to end up in that situation. Not because she asked for it. Nobody asks for it. Nobody deserves it. But because women are more vulnerable. The future Mrs. Allen is 5'6" and weighs about 3 stone, soaking wet. 3 stone. She's a bit heavier than that. And she's not much of a drinker. And on the occasion, she has a couple of glasses of wine. You know what the French are like? They don't drink like us. And they're right. The wine goes straight to her head. She doesn't do anything stupid. She's not rolling around the, on the floor. She's not running in front of cars. But she's nearly there. And another couple of glasses of wine and maybe a vodka on top of it, and she would be in a coma. Right? So we might talk about that. It's Chat with Richie. That's the Skype handle, Chat with Richie. And the phone number here in Manchester is 0161 408 2017. That's 0161 408 2017. This is the Richie Allen Show live on davidicke.com. Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. Commercial radio here in this great city. We're on TuneIn Radio as well. And it's always good to be with you. Strange old evening. Got some brilliant guests lined up for you tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Jamie will be here on Friday with the second phone-in show with Jamie Icke. He's got a guest with him as well. That's this coming Friday. Lots going on. We're going to take some music. And when we come back from that, you, dear listener, are going to be talking to me. We're going to have a chat, so we are. George Hook, sexism, women... Feminazis. Should we even use terms like feminazis? The terror threat in the UK, is it being underestimated, over-exaggerated? You tell me. Chat with Richie on Skype. This is Norman Greenbaum, I think it is. I just saw it there. Norman Greenbaum and Spirit in the Sky.
When I die in the name of
Yeah.
name of the English band who covered that in 1986? I can't think of the name of them. It's driving me mad. 1986, there was a cover of that. That was Norman Greenbaum and Spirit in the Sky. Somebody covered that in 86, I'm thinking. It wasn't the Thompson Twins, no. It wasn't Doctor and the Medics. Well, it might have been Doctor. Might have been Doctor and the Medics. Might have been Doctor and the Medics. It's exactly 8 minutes to the top of the hour. That is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. Some tweets coming in, some interesting tweets coming in. A lot of you expressing dismay at former SAS and current journalist of sorts with Sky and Sky Atlantic, Phil Campion. Big guy is Phil Campion. So whatever I say to him, I won't say to his face. Or whatever I say about him, I won't say to his face. Big old guy. But he has been advocating, as a lot of, I suppose, alt-right commentators, they've been advocating rounding up the watch list of extremists, because MI5, MI6, GCHQ, they've allegedly said there are 3,000 on a watch list. And people have said, well, if there are 3,000, why don't you keep everybody safe by rounding them all up and putting them in a like a camp of some description? Well, nothing wrong with that at all, of course. So Campion is advocating that. There's little or no opposition to that on UK mainstream media at all. It's been said quite a lot recently. I was going to dig out the Theresa May clip. You might remember Theresa May. When she was Home Secretary, she spoke, didn't she, with John Humphreys. And Humphreys, if I remember, asked May, when she was Home Secretary, would she define extremism? She was proposing at the time a new counter-extremism bill, which has yet to be placed in front of the members. It's not gone to MPs. It hasn't been voted on. This has been shelved. It was controversial at the time. But Humphreys asked May on BBC Radio 4 when she was Home Secretary, would she define extremism? And Humphreys did a very good job. It's important when these people do a good job to give them credit for doing a good job. And we can hear a bit of it if you want. I've not had time now to line this up. Ordinarily, I'd be able to take out the exact insert. Let's just see where we are in the interview. But I think from the very beginning of it, Humphreys gets stuck into her refusal to give a clear, understandable definition of what extremism is. At the time, of course, we covered this on the programme. This was back in the summer of 2015, so it's 2 and a bit years ago. This is how that interview went. Listen carefully. This is relevant to those saying there are 3,000 on a watch list. Other journalists are saying there are 25,000 extremists running around the country, hiding under your bed. They're in your coal shed. They're in your fridge. They're in your attic. 25,000 sounds like a lot. Listen to May and John Humphreys.
First of all, I mean, the reason for doing this, John, I mean, you talk about tolerance and intolerance. I mean, there are people out there, sadly, who are seeking to divide us. We are a government of one nation. We want to bring people together to ensure we are living together as one society. But there are those who are trying to promote hatred and intolerance, seeking to divide us into a them and us and undermine our British values. And what we are proposing is a bill which will have certain measures within it, measures such as introducing banning orders for groups and disruption orders for individuals, for those who are out there actively trying to promote this hatred and intolerance, which can lead to division in our society and undermines our British values. But it will be part of a bigger picture, a strategy which will also have as a key part of it actually promoting our British values, our values of democracy, rule of law, tolerance and understanding, you know, acceptance of different faiths.
And he's having none of that, Humphreys, because he's a good journalist to his credit. He's a good presenter. And he's quite rightly having none of that vague nonsense about shared values and tolerance and all that garbage. So he jumps in.
Freedom of speech, an essential prerequisite of a tolerant and decent society.
Don't ask George Hook about freedom of speech, God love him.
And if you ban groups of people from getting together and talking about the things that worry them about the way our society is heading, don't you become a part of it?
No, well, first of all, I would say that your description of what we're proposing to do is not right.
Well, you're talking about banning groups of certain groups of people getting together.
We're not talking about banning groups of people getting together who are simply talking about problems in society or what they perceive as issues that need to be addressed.
So when do they step over the edge?
We are talking about the extremism of all sorts, Islamist extremism, but also other forms of extremism like neo-Nazism, that is seeking to promote hatred, that is seeking to divide our society, that is seeking to undermine the very values that make us a great country to live in, that make us this great pluralistic society.
And how do you divide a society then? Let's assume, for instance, that a group of people put together a meeting at which they expressed views about homosexuality that you or I might perhaps find repugnant. Would they be dividing society?
What we're talking about here is an extremism that is that has an impact, that is divisive, that is trying to undermine our values.
Well, that would be divisive, wouldn't
it? That is trying to undermine our values. But the reason that we're doing this is, first of all, because we do need, I think, to ensure that we are together as one society. We are one nation. We are working to ensure...
Speaking with one voice?
There will be different views within that nation. Of course there will be different views.
Indeed.
And nobody is suggesting that different views cannot be expressed. But one of the reasons for looking at this issue...
But that's exactly what May was saying back in 2015. She was saying that very thing. She said nobody is saying that different views can't be expressed. Well, she just said that certain views wouldn't be expressed if somebody deemed them to be hateful or promoting hatred, which, again, is a very vague thing to say. What is promoting hatred exactly? Humphreys was very good in making the just juxtaposing what she was saying with gay rights and with the inevitable reality that those who identify as Christians don't have any time for gay marriage, don't have any time for people of the same sex living in sin. And would their refusal to tolerate the idea of same-sex couples, would that be hatred? Would that be extremist? Could that be actionable, basically? But of course, May won't answer that.
...of extremism is the path down which it can lead people. And what we can see often is that this extremist preaching, this message of hatred, this message of intolerance can actually lead down a path of radicalisation.
And what I'm trying to get you to define is at what point it strays into that area, at what point it doesn't become just a disagreement with you or me or the bloke next door or the woman next door. It becomes something that should worry us to the extent that it should be banned. That's what I'm trying to get at.
He's a brilliant journalist when he wants to be, Humphreys. Very good presenter. Brilliant question. He's nailed her to the wall there. When does it stop becoming an exchange of opinions? Two people with different views of the world and of morality. When does it stray from that into something that we should be worried about because it could harm us? Good question. Answer it, Teresa.
At what point does it qualify for being banned?
And obviously, when we introduce the legislation which has these banning orders, one of the tasks in that legislation will be to ensure that we have the definitions
properly
so that they can... Well, we have a definition of extremism, which we have in our extremism strategy.
But you seem to be saying you'll know it when you see it, which is a bit unsatisfactory.
And that's brilliant. That's exactly what it is. They will define extremism when the cow jumps over the moon and when Laois win an All-Ireland hurling championship. They will never define it because they want to create a paradigm within which they can label what they can label as extremist, what they want to label as extremist, and when it suits them. And this is what we've been driving at on this programme and others for years and years and years. This is what it is. This is why we spent weeks and weeks on identity politics. On identity politics, which is vital. The understanding of which is vital to understanding this agenda. Deriving your political beliefs, your political positions from the social group with which you identify. Absolving yourself of all personal questioning, of all self-examination, removing yourself from a position where your point of view, your feelings, your beliefs are challenged. It's so relevant to this and to what they're talking about here. I'll play a little bit more of that and then we'll move on.
I'm saying we know it when we see it. John, the whole process of introducing legislation in this country is that actually you start off with the principle of what we want to do, which is to ensure that we can promote British values, the values that unite us as a society.
It's a woolly phrase, isn't it? Promoting British values. You can't have legislation to promote British values, can you? A law that says these are our values and if you don't agree with them, then, well, what? You go to jail? I mean, how do you promote British values in a legalistic sense?
I suspect that there are many people listening to this programme who feel that actually we haven't, as a society in the past, been positive enough about the values that unite us as a society.
But what does that mean? Forgive me for using the phrase again, but that's a bit woolly, isn't it? Positive enough. I mean, I could run out into the street now and you couldn't say, look, these are the values we all stand for. Wonderful, wonderful. Somebody else would come along and say, rubbish, I believe in something different. Now, at what point, what I'm really... puzzled by is how you get to define the line. You draw the line at which you've crossed over that line and it's unacceptable, legally unacceptable.
Well, that is, if I may, the one part of what we're doing is the legislation, which has the banning orders, the disruption orders, the ability to close premises. And that will
for
have very
what?
Clearly,
for
very clearly
what?
Within it, will have definitions of extremism.
And we're 2 years on from that interview and they've not defined it. And the legislation hasn't been presented to UK Parliament. But it's terrifying because this is the route, the road down which they are going and where they want to go, where they can label anything which challenges the official narrative, the official explanation for anything, right? Anything, any group, any minority group, he says, so we move away from identity politics, but any group in society which presents a threat to the public understanding of the official explanation for events, well, that group can be labelled as an extremist group. Now, when she did that interview with John Humphreys, David Cameron was Prime Minister, and he was in New York at the United Nations, and he gave a speech, which is on YouTube, where he said that 9/11 conspiracy theories and claims that the 7th of July bombings in London were not as they seemed, were extremist views and could lend to vulnerable people, vulnerable minds might be perverted by being exposed to such ideas. So the idea that Nick Collerstrom, who wrote Terror on the Tube about the 7th of July bombings, asking questions about what happened on the day, and others, that those guys could be responsible for promoting extremism or jihadism because they're planting ideas and seeds in the minds of young Muslim men. That's exactly what Cameron was saying then, and that's what May wouldn't say to John Humphreys in that interview 2 years ago. Really interesting stuff, this. It really is. So 3,000 extremists, GCHQ tells us, are on a watch list, and other sources say there are 25,000 extremists in the UK. But what does that mean? Does it mean 25,000 would gladly kill somebody in the name of their religion, in the name of Islam? Or does it mean that many thousands of Muslims, many thousands of white, I don't know, British, ethnic UK people, ethnic English people, many thousands hold opinions about the UK's devastation of Iraq, the no-fly zone over Syria, the selling of arms to Saudi Arabia, which has caused the deaths of so many people in Yemen? Are those extremist opinions, those who blame Israel for everything, rightly or wrongly, somewhere in between is the truth? Well, it's not really somewhere in between. Are they extremists? Are they dangerous? Do they need to be locked up? Do they need to be monitored because of their opinions whether you agree with their opinions or not, whether their beliefs have any merits or not. Do they need to be dealt with? 7 minutes past the hour. Take a very quick break. Back in a minute with more. This is Monday's Richie Allen Show.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer, designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Sign up today. Email Sue on nassusproductions@gmail.com.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Oh, it's been one of those days, one of those Mondays. Sometimes you do worry that those who listen to you, and that includes you, by the way, that you might think it's some sort of amateur Mickey Mouse operation. But my telco lines, my phone lines, and my Skype have gone down. And I know what it is. It's an easy fix, but I can't do it while I'm on air. So I can't take any calls. Because I've had some emails from people saying, why have you not answered the phone, Richie? Derek is in Cork. I know Derek, actually. I've known Derek from my Spain days. Derek wanted in. Polly, who's listening to the programme in Salford, wanted in. How you doing, Polly? But I can't take calls either. It's one of those days. It's one of those days. But it's fun, though, isn't it? What would you rather be doing? So this is Cameron, again, because you've got to have context. You've got to back up what you say with a little bit of evidence, bit of audio. I mentioned that Cameron at the United Nations a couple of years ago in New York made the point that people who believe in conspiracy theories, now forget about whether the conspiracy theories have any merit or not. Forget about that. Doesn't matter. But those who believe in them and talk about them are extremists and are dangerous. And Cameron said that shortly before the extremism bill and shortly before Theresa May got her under crackers in a twist on the John Humphreys show. This is David Cameron speaking in New York.
The root cause of this terrorist threat is a poisonous ideology of Islamist extremism. This is nothing to do with Islam, which is a peaceful religion which inspires countless acts of generosity every day. Islamist extremism, on the other hand, believes in using the most brutal forms of terrorism to force people to accept a warped worldview and to live in a quasi-medieval state. To defeat ISIL and organizations like it, we must defeat this ideology in all its forms. As evidence emerges about the backgrounds of those convicted of terrorist offenses, it is clear that many of them were initially influenced by preachers who claim not to encourage violence, but whose worldview can be used as a justification for it.
This is massively important now. First of all, he said, those who have been convicted of terrorist offences. Now, if you were listening to the programme at the very beginning, if you think back, I said, we've had secret court procedures for those accused of terrorism in this country for a number of years. So when Cameron says those convicted of terrorism, we have to take the UK government's word for it. Because as I said, these trials are not carried out in the full glare of the UK media. They're not allowed attend nor report on these trials. So you have to believe it. So then he said that these guys are being influenced by preachers who aren't asking people to go and kill people, but have a warped view of the world and believe some fantastic things, which he elaborates on.
We know this worldview, the peddling of lies, that 9/11 was somehow a Jewish plot, or that the 7/7 London attacks were staged. The idea that Muslims are persecuted all over the world as a deliberate act of Western policy. The concept of an inevitable clash of civilizations. We must be clear, to defeat the ideology of extremism, we need to deal with all forms of extremism, not just violent extremism. For governments, there are some obvious ways we can do this. We must ban preachers of hate from coming to our countries. We must proscribe organizations that incite terrorism against people at home and abroad. We must work together to take down illegal online material like the recent videos of ISIL murdering hostages. And we must stop the so-called non-violent extremists from inciting hatred and intolerance in our schools, our universities, and yes, even our prisons.
So by claiming that September the 11th, 2001, was carried out by the intelligence agencies of the United States, Saudi Arabia, Israel, whether any of that is true or not, but by claiming you don't believe the official narrative, and I think anybody who's read the 9/11 Commission report, and I had to read every word of it, anybody who's listened to those who worked on the 9/11 Commission report, anybody who's listened to Thomas Keane, who headed up the 9/11 Commission report, was given $3 million to investigate 9/11, bizarrely. The man who wrote a book about it, with Lee Hamilton a few years after, when he said it was set up to fail. Well, anybody who sees the 9/11 Commission report knows that whatever the real story was, the official story was nonsense. So by talking about that, says Cameron, you're inciting hatred, you must be stopped. You must be stopped. He goes on.
Of course, some will argue that this is not compatible with free speech and intellectual inquiry.
Well, it isn't compatible with free speech and intellectual inquiry. If... how many architects and engineers are there now? There must be 2,600 accredited members of the Architects Association of America. 2,600 men and women who say Building 7, forget the North and South Towers, Building 7 had to be demolished using controlled demolition. That's the building that most people don't even know collapsed on September the 11th. So Cameron wants these organisations banned or proscribed. What he doesn't want is to engage with these people in a public forum. Right, so you think that Richard Gage, an award-winning architect, an unimpeachable man, is full of shit when he says explosives had to be used in those buildings. Well, take him on then. Challenge Gage to provide the evidence in a public forum, and if his evidence doesn't stack up, or anybody else who's talked about it, David Ray Griffin, Stephen Jones, Fetzer, Barrett, any of them, academics, all of them, highly qualified men and women, take them on. Cameron wants them labelled as extremist and he wants their material taken off the internet, lest some young, impressionable Pakistani boy from Rochdale or from Leeds or from Bradford get the idea that, well, we better go on a murder spree. That's what he's saying, you see. This is the agenda they're rolling out in front of our eyes.
But I ask you, would we sit back and allow right-wing extremists, Nazis or Ku Klux Klansmen to recruit on our university campus?
We did, for years. The British National Party had a presence on university and college campuses here in England for years. But their narrow, ultimately racist, regardless of what you think about Nick Griffin or any of these people, narrow, racist, ultimately hateful, blame the other. Blame the other. Creed. That was their creed, blame the other. It didn't get very far. You don't put these people underground, or you don't ban them, and we never banned these groups he's talking about. They were always around the UK and even in Ireland. You defeated them through debate, didn't you? That's what you did. Here he goes. Have a listen to the rest of this.
No. So we shouldn't stand by and just allow any form of non-violent extremism. We need to argue that prophecies of a global war of religion pitting Muslims against the rest of the world, these things are nonsense. We need Muslims and their governments around the world to reclaim their religion from these sick terrorists, as so many are doing and quite rightly doing today.
David Cameron in New York City back in 2015. This is, in fact, it was late 2014. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Let's take some more music. Good to be with you this Monday. Finding Seeds and Sense on the Richie Allen Show. What a day this has been, eh? I mean, this is one of those days. Ah, one of those days. Phone, Skype, it's all gone. So I would have had trouble anyway. It's ironic, isn't it? We obviously, I came on air alone tonight for the first time in many years. I don't mind that. I have no problems with that. There's always something to talk about. You and I can always have a chat. That wasn't an issue at all for me. But then the audio issue as well on top of it, which is annoying. It's a really easy, well, it's a 10-minute fix, but that's all. And I'll fix it shortly. But there you go, one of those things. What can you do about it? It's exactly 23 minutes past the hour. While listening to that, just having a look around social media, and a friend of mine, Facebook is so random. And it gets a lot of criticism on this programme because of what it is. And what it was designed to do, right? Facebook, let's be honest about it, was designed to do a number of things. And one of them was to corral or kettle pretty much everybody in the world into one place. And here we all are. How are you? How are you? How are you doing over there? We're all here. And we can be watched. We can be observed. We can be sold things, we can be manipulated, we can be programmed, we can be heavily influenced. That's what it is, right? And of course, part of that was to get everybody away from their own websites. And people who've had websites for many years, and I never had a website till richieallen.co.uk, which was, what, 3 years ago? I never had a website before that. Never entertained the idea of having a website. But I know a lot of people who had websites back when websites were really exotic things. Way back when. And those people, the Hayden Hewitts of this world, predicted that Facebook would see the monopolization of the internet. That man and woman would think that by having a Facebook page, well, that's pretty much like having an internet site, isn't it? It is, really. I've only got to go to facebook.com/TheRichieAllen. And that's Richie Allen's Facebook page. That's my personal page. Just like a website, isn't it? No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Facebook algorithms mean that less than 2% of all those whom you've befriended actually see anything that you post. Facebook controls that. Whereas, of course, if you had a website and you posted on your website every day, your reader or your listener would know where to go. Oh yeah, Richie Allen normally posts an article now, or normally has an interview on his website. Now I'll just check on over there. There's nothing anybody can do about that. Well, of course, people can make it difficult for you to for your website to be hosted. Ultimately, that might happen. It's happened before, probably, but it's not as easy for your content to be interfered with when you have your own website as it is when you rely on a Facebook page. And this is why I don't use Facebook very much. I don't spend a lot of time on there. I don't have a lot of time for it. Because of that very thing. It's a con. It's an information gathering tool. And it is the biggest censorship. It is the biggest censorship drive, or part of the biggest censorship drive in human history. That's what Facebook is. Right. In light of everything, I'm going to love you and leave you at 27 and a half minutes past the hour. It's Monday, the 18th of July, 2017. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday, live. I'll have a show packed full of guests and information. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, Jamie Icke is going to be here for the second of Jamie Icke's Friday night. That's right, Jamie Icke's Friday night. Second episode of that coming up this coming Friday. With everything going south, I think I'll take my leave of you. Thanks for staying with me for the last 90 minutes. I enjoyed your company, you loyal listener, you. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll do it all again tomorrow. And hopefully, we will be back to normal tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 p.m. British summertime, such as what's left of it. Bye for now.